Dan to the January meeting of the Port Commission. Hard to believe that one out of 12 months is already in the past. It is flying by, but we have good news. I have a few remarks I'd like to make before we start the regular agenda. We have, once again, 2017 was a record-setting year. We have so much good news to share with you and with our constituents. This past year, ending December the 31st of 2017, Port Houston facilities reached the highest total tonnage in port history at 38.3 million tons, surpassing the previous record set in 2014 of 37.8 million tons. So let's give our staff a hearty round of applause. It was also a record-setting year. I probably should have waited until I said this as well, because we're going to have to clap for our container people. It was a record-setting year for our container business. Port Houston handled 2.46 million TEU for 2017. Now remember, we reached the 2 million TEU mark in 2015. So now we're almost 2.5 million for 2017. We had 2.18 million TEUs in 2016. 13% increase year over year. And you're going to hear more about these excellent results from our CEO, Roger Gunther, when he gives you his remarks a little later in the program. Of course, all of this is due not only to the excellent work of our staff, and our staff does a tremendous job for us and makes us look good here on the Port Commission, but we have terrific customers and relationships and have the wonderful benefit of being located on the Gulf Coast, premier place, location, 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 and hosting the largest petrochemical complex in the nation. And as you know, that petrochemical complex drives a lot of our business at Port Houston, including the growth and exports of resins, which Roger will tell you more about when he gives you his remarks. Speaking of resins and knowing that is driving the growth in our exports, our staff hosted for the, is it the second or third year?
Third year.
Now, this is a proactive approach our staff takes. They think about the things that are driving our commerce, and they figure out ways to connect with our customers to make sure that we can continue to drive those results. So they, for the third year, hosted the resin, the Synthetic Resin Symposium in North Houston that was attended by 250 participants from all over the supply chain. We had some terrific people that spoke to the group on the panels, including some of our own staff that did a tremendous job. And this is important because it connects us with our customers and with the supply, with the people that are interested in the supply chain, and provides the message, a very positive message, that we're going to handle whatever growth comes our way. We're going to do it efficiently, we're going to do it rapidly, and we're not going to have any break in that supply chain. And frankly, I think it's that seamless supply chain that has given us a competitive advantage, not only on the Gulf Coast, but around the nation. So once again, I want to thank our staff for having been, taking that initiative, been so proactive in connecting with our customers, creating that message of opportunity and our ability to respond to tremendous growth in exports through those resin exports. So thank you again to our staff for a tremendous job. In other great news, I'm very pleased to announce the reappointment of Commissioner Stephen Don Carlos, yes. Mayor of Baytown, and our commissioner for 2017. Commissioner Don Carlos, as you do for the city of Baytown, you do for the Port of Houston. That is, you always put the institution first, and you always vote the best interest of that institution. So thank you for your collaboration with us, for your great work, and for all that you do to make us the best port in the nation.
Thank you very much. Easy to do when you've got a great product to sell.
So now on to the Oh, our next Port Commission meeting will be in February. I'm sorry, we won't have one in February. The next meeting will be on March the 27th, so we have about a two-month hiatus. We're going to have more good news to share in March, so stay tuned. So next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from December the 12th, 2017.
So moved.
Thank you, Commissioner Corky. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved as written. Port Commission Committee updates. What do we have here? Was it only the Audit Committee that met?
No, we had the Pension.
Pension met.
Pension also.
Okay, so would you please, Commissioner Fitzgerald, give us the update on pension?
Madam Chairman and Commissioners, the Pension Committee met on January 24th, 2018, and covered four items. First item relates to the audit of the pension plan by Grant Thornton for the fiscal year ending July 31st, 2017. We're glad to report that the audit resulted in a clean opinion. Both the Pension and Benefit Committees and the Audit Committee recommended approval of the pension plan audited financial statements to fiscal 2017, as shown in today's agenda, item I-4. Upon approval, staff will file the financials with the Texas Pension Review Board. Item 2 was a discussion regarding the pension plan actuarial evaluation report dated August 1st, 2017. The Port Authority has committed to funding the annual required contribution as calculated in accordance with the actuarial principles, which is approximately $5 million per year. The pension plan continues to be well-funded with a funded ratio of 95%. The actuarial valuation report was approved by the Port Commission last month and filed with the Texas Pension Review Board. Things stuck together. There we go. The third item was a review of the investment performance for the pension plan and OPEB trust. As of December 31st, 2017, the pension plan had assets of $182 million and the OPEB trust had assets of $64 million. Both plans have done well with a positive return of about 11% for the year. This compares very favorably against our actuarial assumption rate of 6.75%. But as we know, markets go up, markets go down. Given the exceptional performance of the stock market in the last few months, staff will be reallocating asset in order to lock in some of these gains. The next issue was the discussion regarding the 457B deferred compensation plan and 401A defined contribution plan. The deferred comp plan has assets of $44 million. It is a voluntary plan allowing employees to save additional monies with taxes deferred until retirement or separation from employment. The defined contribution plan has assets of $2 million. It was established for new employees hired on or after October 1st, 2012, with the Port Authority contributing a percentage of the employee's salary, initially 3.5%. Both plans are managed through Nationwide, and employees invest in the funds as they deem appropriate within the investment options offered. Staff will be working with our outside consultants at ANCO Consulting on a proposal to increase the focus on these plans, providing review of investment options, fees, and alternative providers. Madam Chairman, that concludes my report. I'd like to thank also all of the people, Ray and Tom and Tim and everyone else that's involved in the pension plans. They do a great job of overseeing our plans and our funds.
They sure do. Thank you for that excellent report. Commissioner Corky, did you want to make a comment? You were there at the meeting.
No, I think we're heading in the right direction. I'd just like to see us get to that 100% mark, but I think we're going to be there soon.
Where are we, Ray? 95. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. I think we're the most well-funded plan in the state. Not to say it wouldn't be great to be at 100, Commissioner Corky, and I think that point's well taken. I would be curious to know what it would take, Mr. Yee, and maybe you can tell us at another time if you could look at it and let us know how much of a contribution would need to be made to get it to that 100% level. Of course, and that could change depending on what happens in the market.
But I'm very, very pleased with the performance of the staff.
Oh, yes.
Wow. And in particular, I noticed that there were some different money managers were somewhat questionable, but they were patient with them, and that wound up giving us tremendous returns.
A rising tide lifts all boats. So we're very, very proud of the work that's been done. So thank you for that excellent report. And now on the audit committee, we had an audit committee meeting on the same day. We had our report on our pension plan audit. Grant Thornton representatives presented the results of the audit for the restated pension plan for the fiscal year ended July 31st, 2017. Audit committee concurs with the Pension Benefits Committee's recommendation to approve the report as presented in agenda item I-4. Summary of PHA-wide audit activity. Staff provided an overview of the authority-wide summary of audits for the committee's awareness and for our concurrence. As a supplement to the summary of audits report, Marcus Woodring, and thank you for this, Marcus, provided an overview of the regulatory audit activity within the HSSE division, which is our health safety division. Our proposed 2018 audit plan was also discussed. The committee reviewed and discussed the proposed 2018 internal audit plan report and the supporting 2018 Port Houston Authority internal audit risk management report presented by staff, which included the Port Commission's and management's input on high-risk areas as well as consideration of internal control procedures and changing regulations. It's just a matter of assuring that we have the right priorities in place for the internal audit. The committee concurred with staff's proposed 2018 audit plan and recommends adoption of the 2016 annual audit plan as presented under agenda item G3. There was also staff provided the Promotion and Development Fund third quarter 2017 review report. Staff reported that during 2017 there were two minor issues reported under PHA's whistleblower policy. Both items were resolved and closed. So that's also good news. Are there any questions? Okay, so on to appearances. And first, if I could say, we all know how important it is to have a seamless supply chain. And I talked before about how we have a competitive advantage with the efficiency of our port and our supply chain. We're very blessed with that. But one of the most important considerations for our future, and Judge Thompson's going to address this in just a moment, is that we have got to figure out how we're going to meet this added freight demand from the standpoint of moving it in and out of our region in a seamless, swift way. The Alliance for I-69, which has the Interstate 69 corridor and intersects, is a very important piece of that supply chain and efficiencies within the supply chain. And we have an item on our agenda today to renew a professional services contract with the Alliance for I-69 Texas and the payment of those dues to keep that working for us and other ports in Texas. And so I would like to invite Judge Thompson, who's the former chair of the Alliance for I-69 Texas, to address this commission and the audience about the importance of I-69.
Good morning, Madam Chairman.
Good morning.
I guess the most important part about my introduction is that former, and I'll just tell you that's a wonderful place to be, the former.
But once a judge,
former county judge. Former chair of the Alliance was a fabulous part of my life, and transportation continues to be an important part of what I do while I'm semi-retired. But again, thank you, commissioners, and Chairman Longoria for being here. Judge Neal has been in the hospital with pneumonia. He is the current chair of the I-69 Alliance, and I understand he got to go home, but it was a pleasure for me to be asked to be back here with you. I couldn't help but notice when you started today, it was the record set in this past year. And if you look at that first slide, Interstate 69, extending the market reach of the Port of Houston complex. From day one, the Port of Houston has always realized or seen the big picture. It was not about what happens right here within 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles, 20, whatever. It's about how do we at the Port of Houston reach out to the entire country, the midsection of the country. So y'all have been a super important part of this from day one. Again, understanding the big picture of why it is so important that that red line, you look to see where it starts in Port Huron, Michigan, and ends on the Texas border. And now it's not to say what you just talked about, that the local ability to get access outside of the Houston region, you know, freight in and out. And we are interested in helping with that too. But because of you, we're where we are today, and we've I'm going to talk more about where we are today and where we're headed. But anyway, if we take a look at the next slide, the organization started in 1993. That's how long this effort's been underway. And we heard about I-69. We went to the Greater Houston Partnership. They began to assist us, and Jennifer Shepherd, who is now our executive director, has moved from Houston back to D.C., and she works with Larry Myers. But the interstate system, as we know, and the way it was built, ended in the mid-90s. So I-69 is a really a landmark decision, landmark project, in that the old 90-10 money went away. So it has been an uphill battle. But again, we're going to talk about the progress we've made, and the progress we've made is because of the, again, the understanding of this commission and the Port of Houston about how important it was to the future. We have you help us maintain an office in Washington with Jennifer Shepherd and Larry Myers in Austin, Gary Bichelle, who works the state, and Don Rodman, who, as you know, if you are not able to tell your story, he is our electronics guy that puts all the meetings and all the activities together. So in this program today, that I can bring to you to help you understand what's going on. And but again, this is what you are very important in helping us continue to do. The other thing that we preach and have for the last almost 30 years is that it takes not just decades, but generations to build a highway of the magnitude of I-69. I had black hair and a lot more of it. I was quite a few pounds lighter and moved a lot faster 30 years ago when I started this process. But it is a labor of love. And what I do today, I don't get paid for, so I'm not being paid to be here today. I'm here because of the importance that transportation brings to the state of Texas, and the importance it was going to bring to the little county, Polk County, Livingston, Lake Livingston area, to me up the road. And we've made it this far by sticking together. If there was the 6 miles down in Robstown, we all got excited about it because it was 6 miles of the overall process. We get excited when something happens here in Houston, and we get excited on up the chain. So,
can I say, Judge Thompson, that yeah. It's all about supply chain efficiencies and moving freight, and especially that, you know, of course, we have an interest in what's generated in and out of this region, but all along that corridor.
Absolutely.
I-69 has been very, very successful in securing federal dollars and state transportation dollars for the efficiencies that have been created along the I-69 corridor.
Absolutely.
And I mean, even last week there were some additional announcements about some additional connectors and corridors that were going to be funded by the federal government and by the Texas Department of Transportation, approved by the Transportation Commission, that have been approved because of the singular efforts of the Alliance for I-69 advocating with TxDOT and with the federal authorities to get these dollars, to secure the dollars, to assure that we do have this efficient supply chain along this corridor. So I want to thank you very much for all of your effort when you were chair, and Judge Neal has been doing a tremendous job. But the organization itself, I think, is instrumental to our supply chain efficiency here at Port Houston, and frankly, for all the ports in Texas and moving freight along the corridor and north. So I wanted to thank you for that.
You're more than welcome, and I'd like to thank you. If you don't know, Chairman Longoria serves as vice chair of the Alliance, and she brings directly to the table and to the program what's important to the Port of Houston. So we thank you for your input and your efforts on the behalf of all of us at the I-69 Alliance. Now, when you you look at those pictures, we are we're proud of the symbols. For years, we went to Washington and met with staff, and we love staff. Staff is where it starts. Staff is a lot of times where it ends. So we're excited about that. But the first time Commissioner Austin, who is now the commissioner, the Carter Commissioner for the TxDOT Commission, came up with the idea, let's take the real deal to Washington. And of the entire delegation, the Texas delegation, all but one congressman was able to meet with us. Everybody wanted their picture with the I-69 emblem. And if you go in their office today, you'll find it somewhere in their office, some more prominent than others, but it's there. Status of I-69. If you look at the map, we have about 207 miles right now that are signed. And when we started with 6 point something miles, that tells you how far we've come. And more than 50% of the total mileage is either signed as an interstate or in the TxDOT development process. Huge, huge undertaking. In the last one of our great successes is getting the I-69 projects in the 10-year Unified Transportation Plan. There are 45 projects on I-69 with a value of over $3 billion. $2 billion, or a little over $2 billion, are in the Houston area and the counties of Harris, Montgomery, Fort Bend, and Wharton counties. So a lot of money is being spent in this area, but there's also money for the connectivity to make this thing reach both the border to our south and to our north, working our way up to meet our friends in the northern states. This is an interesting map that I'm sure most of you have seen probably. This is what happens to freight 7 days after it comes out of the Port of Houston. And all it does is, once again, underscore the importance of connectivity to the rest of the country and the ability to get freight in and out of the port and distributed up through the country. So, again, we are known as a freight corridor, Interstate 69 is. If you look at the next slide, we've had to work at it incrementally. So that means an overpass here, additional lanes, again, because of the money, there's not the 90-10 match that there once was. And but I think we're moving ahead. $3 billion is nothing to sneeze at in the improvements that are already in the plan. If you look at the federal advocacy, one of the things we do is we coordinate. Texas is the leader of the states that have I-69 going through them. We have a congressional caucus that keeps the focus on the entire corridor and helping each state as they get through. I know it's no surprise to y'all, but the majority of the miles that need to be finished are in Texas. In fact, probably half or so of the miles to get to Canada are in Texas, if you look at the map. So our job is the biggest job, but we are the biggest state, and we are the can-do state, and we are making it happen. Kind of the last thing I want to show you is the importance of, again, I-69 supporting the progress and where you all are, where you've been. And honestly, you've had longstanding support. You understand why it's important to build it. And we want you as our partner. We want you to be able to continue to have record years. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Commissioners, do you have any questions of Judge Thompson or about I-69?
Thank you.
Judge Thompson, thank you so much
My
for
pleasure.
Taking
great
the time.
My pleasure. Great to be here with you. We're excited that y'all are doing great things down here, and I appreciate each of your time. And
thank you for your volunteerism. Coming here today as a volunteer to give us this information is very important.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So with that, I would take out of order, if you don't mind, a motion to renew a professional partner membership.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Congratulations, Judge Thompson.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you for your effort. I don't believe we have any other public comment. So it is now my pleasure to ask our CEO, Roger Gunther, to give us more context and information about the record results that we enjoyed in 2017.
Well, thank you, Chairman and Commissioners, and again, since it's our first time to convene in 2018, I'd like to take just a few moments, a few moments more than I normally do, because I think it's important to talk about some of the accomplishments of 2017, the highlights of the financial results of 17, and equally as important, lay out several of the strategic objectives that we have for 2018. So thanks, and with your leadership and guidance, Commission, our port continues to prosper, and the staff works really hard, and I'm proud of them for the things that we were able to accomplish in 2017, working with our partners and our stakeholders, and we're preparing to carry that forward to 2018. So a bit on the operational and financial side, for last year, for calendar year, fiscal year 2017. On the general cargo side, the steel tonnage had a nice comeback, handled 3.7 million tons of steel, which is a big increase over last year. Last year was a down year. 3.7 million tons of steel is above average for a year, and we think it's trending upward. We had increases in the wind energy and the automobiles and general cargo through our facilities. And as Chairman mentioned, the container volumes being up 13% for the year, that was driven largely by a 22% increase in loaded container throughput from the strengthening market that we had from East Asia, which is significant because this activity keeps us at this 50-50 import to export ratios, which is going to be really critical to have that equipment available when this resin surge, the boxes there for the export of resin cargo. So we're in a great spot on the container side. Lease revenues from properties that support our operation activities, we don't talk about that much, but they were up almost 6% this year, $40 million a year of leases of property and assets that we own. So the strength of all this cargo activity for the year drove a record operating revenue of $332 million for 2017. It really shattered the previous record that was set back in 2015 by 14%. And our combined business through our public facilities generated a cash flow of $145 million, surpassing the previous record in 2015 of $128 million. And that's all good when you got, what, Tim, a $2 billion capital plan over the next 10 years. That cash is critical to funding these capital projects to remain in front of the demand to handle the rapid cargo growth that we have. And by the way, on the agenda today, we have a mere $150 million or so of capital projects that we're asking for approval to go out to advertise, which highlights and shows the commitment that we have in the investments that we're making to meet this cargo demand that we have going. That's a dock. That's some container yards and cranes that are on the agenda today. So
but that's one agenda out of a year.
Yes, just today.
Spending all the cash flow in one year.
Yeah.
So think about that.
Yeah. That's a great point, and we are committed to making those investments for the future. So just to reflect on a few of the highlights, things that we did last year, you know, remind us all that the goals that we have toward our strategic plan, the people and the growth, infrastructure and stewardship, our staff remains really steadfast in their priorities, what we call, hey, how do we define what success looks like for the port? So these things are our goals that we look at. There's too many things to name them all. We'd be here all day, but I want to highlight several and start out in our people goals. The first, as we remember, 2017 will be remembered for a long time due to the impacts that we had from Harvey. And we persevered through the strength of our people, got back on track quickly. Not only our people, our partners and our labor, the pilots, the Coast Guard, the users of the facilities, our stevedores, our truckers, numerous stakeholders in our channel, our people in our industry were the strength to get us through that very quickly. And our commission, your leadership provided a number of employees, allowed us to do things to assist them through their hardship when they were impacted by Harvey. We partnered with the Department of Labor and an intermediary to create an apprenticeship program, which we will start this year. And we already have seven people that are going to be starting in our apprenticeship program very quickly. We completed a job description project, which was instrumental in allowing us to start the compensation and marketing analysis that we're beginning with Mercer, which we approved last year. And there are many more, and I appreciate our team's efforts and their engagement on the communication that we have across the organization getting these things done. As far as growth, accomplished many things there as well. We handled this tremendous amount of container volume. We talk about the volume, but that equates to 35,000 truck moves in and out of our facilities every week. We did 47,000 hours on our ship-to-shore cranes in 1 year to handle that volume. And all this was done with our maintenance department with a reliability of 99%, a very high availability of our RTG cranes. And through all that growth, we maintained the service levels, and I think that's a compliment to our operations staff. We got new tools in our Navis system, not only to improve our customer vision and interface, but also to better understand our business intelligence so that we can track our efficiencies more in real time to make sure that we're serving our customers. Things like extended gate hours were things that we did for the benefit, primarily driven by some of these resin carriers, resin producers that are coming online so that we can utilize the assets and benefit them moving their cargo. Our brand was launched in 2017, got great feedback that how it's been received and the identity that we have from that branding project. And there's something we don't talk about much, I don't, and I think we should, and it's that foreign trade zone that we manage. And we did a little study in 2017 about the impact that our foreign trade zone has on our business. And it was an in-house, very conservative approach, but the users of our FTZ account for at least 11% of the Port of Houston's container volume on the import side and 6.5% on the export side. So this is an extremely powerful marketing tool funded through FTZ user fees that helps to bring our real estate and economic development community together for port engagement and moving cargo through our port. So the effectiveness of that is very good for our organization. On to infrastructure, and that's been a great year as well, critical towards capturing the economic activity for our region. Saw numerous projects developed to keep us competitive. We had more than $200 million worth of capital projects that were brought to substantial completion in 2017, includes both Container Yard 6 and North and South, Wharf 2 rehab, we got the cranes that came in to Barber Scott. And as well on the infrastructure side, our channel development team, working with the Corps of Engineers to advance the plans for the next generation of the needs and improvements of the Houston Ship Channel. This multi-year mega study is past the halfway point, reached a point of what's called the tentatively selected plan, and is now moving into more detailed definition. In addition to that, our channel development staff was very instrumental in coordinating the efforts post-Harvey with the Corps to identify the needs that were most critical to get us back into operation. So a lot of things that went on there that people may not have known, but people doing good things to get us back online. We stepped up our asset management program, the inspection and condition assessments that we do through this program to give us a better insight of all the 130 docks and other assets that we have to prioritize those investment dollars for years to come. And finally, on the infrastructure side, something that's very important, something that we have committed to is the near and the long-term planning, what we're calling the 2040 master planning. And we plan to complete that draft in 2018. But we've had some wins in federal and state grants supporting port infrastructure and security and trucking emissions reduction. So a lot of things on the infrastructure side that were very valuable to what we did. And the last goal as far as 2017 is stewardship. And you know, it's very important for what we do for sustaining the business going forward. Some things that we accomplished included environmental leader. Our environmental department renewed the ISO 14001 for environmental management, certified by a third party, and optimizing. And we worked on optimizing some of the energy savings and efficiencies and sustainability in our port. We also received full recertification in the ISO 28000 supply chain security standard, and we're still the only port in the United States that has that certification. Cybersecurity development program kicked off late in 2017, and continual improvement on the information and cybersecurity will be ongoing as this assessment unfolds in 2018. We coordinated with our community, with the Chairman's Citizen Advisory Council, to make sure that our community and stakeholders are aware of what we're doing at the Port of Houston. You know, and we talk about safety. Through all of this growth and expansion that we had this year and the hours worked, we reduced our lost time incident frequency rate from 1.11 to 0.97. That's on a 200,000 man hour basis. And the industry standard that we compare ourselves is 3.5. We're never satisfied when we get to zero, but we're certainly inching closer and performing better each and every day, and safety is important to us. Our community engagement has been outstanding. Record participation by our employees, from the park to port bike ride to the Adopt the Beach Junior Achievement, and a very special project that we talked about was during Thanksgiving, where meals were put together to benefit those that were impacted by Harvey, including our own Port Houston people. And of course, the small business and education outreach efforts continue to be engaged with the community. The group participated in more than 250 events through the year. Many of those were post-Harvey and Harvey-related. They were instrumental in the leadership of this apprenticeship program that I talked about. Continue to work closely with the more than 1,000 registered local small businesses and stay engaged with the 1,200 students that are part of the Maritime Education Program in our local high schools and communities and universities. So those are a few of the many things that we did in 2017. So I'm really proud of the things that we accomplished, and we, meaning our staff, accomplished to do these things to make us better. Real quickly, looking at 2018, with the strengthening of the energy sector in our region, as well as the continued investments that we have in our distribution facilities for import goods, we believe we're in for another amazing year in growth through our facilities, and we've established an action plan for 2018 with the objectives that are in line with our strategic plan. Just a few of the priorities that we have for the coming year: exceeding our KPIs, key performance indicators for safety, leadership development, cascading across our organization, develop the future leaders of our organization, implementing plans for our environmental leadership strategy, developing a plan for increasing the growth inland. Judge Thompson talked about it earlier, inland growth opportunities beyond our immediate region, completion of a market assessment and compensation strategy, having a common federal and state legislative agenda and messaging for our port priorities is going to be very important this year. Establishing and completing the milestones for the Houston Ship Channel mega study, making sure that we're getting the improvements that are critical for the channel going forward. And as I mentioned earlier, the initial draft master plan for 2040. So just to wrap this all up, I'm proud of what they've accomplished last year. Our staff has been amazing, and I'm quite frankly thrilled for their motivation going forward as they may remain strategically engaged with the things in front of us. I want to remind everybody the priorities that we have in those common and those goals: investing in the people in our organization for success, provide and facilitate infrastructure to meet demand, grow and diversify the business base, and sustain the business for the long term. I think we're in great position to do that, and I'm thrilled to work with a staff that really does that to the nth degree, and it's been a great year. I look forward to the coming year. So thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Gunther, thank you for that exceptional, comprehensive report. That's really terrific. Commissioner Fitzgerald.
No, I wasn't going to say anything. I was just going to give you
a hand. Let's give him a hand.
Madam Chair, if I, I thought there were two significant events that happened in about the last week or so. I don't know if y'all heard about these or not, but at a forum in West Texas, the forecast is that the Permian Basin is going to see 110,000 wells drilled in the coming years. If you do the math, I grew up out there, so I know the depth of those wells. That equates to over a billion feet of drill pipe that they're going to be needed, which our area produces an awful lot of drill pipe. Mm-hmm. Exxon announced over the weekend they're going to put $50 billion into the Permian Basin in drilling projects. Mm-hmm. So
we'll see steel.
The future of steel should look pretty good for a pretty good long time.
Very good. Any other comments? Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
On to the agenda, item G1, and I'm so glad to see Captain Deal here. I'm glad you're here. We have, we really value our partnerships with our industry stakeholders, transportation, and maritime industry support. And one of those that has been very important to us is the Greater Houston Port Bureau, because they provide vessel traffic movement data that is really important to us in our forecasting, and subscription to Harbor Lights. And so on the agenda is the service agreement with the Greater Houston Port Bureau, and I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
It's a unanimous motion. moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Captain Deal, did you want to make any comments? No. Invite you to if you would like to.
I just appreciate all your support that we've doing and trying to get everyone to funnel up on the same messages. The drivers think about, we got a great story here. We can amplify it through all the different companies that are here. We're hoping to help you with that as we go forward.
Well, you also host the premier maritime industry event of the year at the Greater Houston Port Bureau Dinner. And you continue to exceed expectations every year, so you're gonna have to find a larger venue at some point. Thank you, Captain Deal. All right, so we've already passed item G2 on to general. The audit committee recommended in item G3 the approval and adoption of the proposed internal audit 2018 plan.
Motion approved.
Seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. I would also move to appoint Eric Erickson as Secretary of the Port Commission. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under commercial, item H1, enter into a two-year professional services contract with A. Gomez Consulting for trade development activities on behalf of the Port of Houston Authority in Central and South America, except Brazil, in an amount not to exceed $256,408.
Motion. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Corrigan, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And I would just like to say that he does a great job for us.
He does.
Item 2, enter into a two-year professional services contract with Portal Commerce and Logistics, effective March the 8th, for trade development activities on behalf of the Port Authority in Brazil, in an amount not to exceed $232,677. And oh, by the way, Brazil is a very important trading partner for us.
Motion. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under leases, I will entertain a motion on items 3 through 9 together.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Don Carlos, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under.
I had a question on 6.
Okay.
It's we put in 584 acres to 350 to 350. Where is the 353 located at, Rick, Roger?
This is a lease that we previously did on the north side of the channel to the west a little bit of the Beltway 8 bridge. And what we're, this 6 is in conjunction with item number 5. We are, Kinder Morgan has agreed to give up 5.84 acres so that Contenda can benefit that. I think it makes it more easy for them to use their pipeline. So this is a swap.
And that was my question. I noticed that it had to be right kind of next to each other, the way they're giving
us. Yes.
And one's paying a lot more money than the other one's paying, are they not? One is 462,000, one's 105. Am I reading that wrong?
Don't know the answer to that.
I can address that.
Thank you.
Okay. Commissioner, the 462 is the aggregate sum of the Kinder lease.
Right.
The 105 is just the rental amount for Contenda for that piece at its operational rate.
Just for the it's 105,000 just for the 5 acres.
Yeah, that's right.
Has nothing to do with the other 353 acres.
That's correct.
On a different lease.
That's correct.
So what's that lease, value of that lease?
Of the Contenda at you mean based on what Kinder's paying right now for that?
No.
No, when Contenda's fully operate right now, it's in feasibility.
It's $105,000 per year.
For the entitled?
No, he's talking about the whole 350 acre Contenda lease.
Once operational.
Once operational, counting the mag rate that's associated with that, it's close to about $3.5 million a year plus.
The whole lease?
Yes.
Okay. And you're going to wait for a period of time until they get ready or until they build something out there before they start paying on the 548? Is that
well,
right?
Actually, they're going to be paying a feasibility rate immediately,
okay,
which is a lower rate. Then it ramps up once they're in construction, and then it ramps up again once they're operational.
Okay, so the 353 does compare then on the whole overall lease?
Well, I will tell you, it's a little bit less than Contenda's paying out of the chute, but it's a commitment for a much longer period of time. The importance of it is it's a strategic piece of property that helps the overall 350-acre development.
Right.
So it's very, very key to their
I understand why they need it. I understood all that. I just didn't understand the difference in one being so high,
right,
and one being so low. It's because you've not put all the other part of the 353 is not in this number.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the information. Okay, on to finance. I will entertain item 1A through K together, which is request for qualifications and request for competitive sealed bids.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Corky. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
I have one question, Chair.
Yes, sir.
I'm in favor of this, but on the dockside electric container cranes, it says up to 4. Are we getting them all at the
which,
same time?
Which item are you talking
about? I'm sorry. G.
Yes.
Are we getting 4 at one time or up to four?
Jeff or Ryan?
Says up to four.
It's three.
Okay.
We're approved up to four, but it's three.
We're ordering three, okay.
Okay. So that means if we need the fourth one at a later date, we don't have to approve it again?
Is that an option? No, we'd have to approve the money.
Have to approve the money, but it's an option.
Okay.
So when they come to us, they're going to give us two options, this much for three, this much for.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Okay, and I have a question. On B, C, and D, basically you're doing proposals. It seems like to me if we're going out there and having somebody.
B is bids, so you're just talking about C and D.
Yeah, okay, C and D.
C, D, and E.
Yeah. Hard for me to understand why they, that wouldn't be a hard bid with what we're doing instead of proposals and get away from all of the changes we end up having to make down the line. Somebody ought to go out there and do due diligence and figure out what it costs to construct a container yard 7 at Bayport Container Terminal. Seemed like to me that would be a hard bid and not a proposal.
Well,
maybe I look at it wrong.
Well,
I think you can also have a change order on a competitive sealed bid.
Yeah, once you know that the bids versus proposal is only for the method of procurement. You know, once that's established, the contract for both of those is going to be exactly the same. So there's not any type of you don't have any more change orders for one that's bid versus one that's a CSP. I mean, because at the end of the day, it's just how you award the contract is the difference between a bid and a CSP.
Proposal gives you a little more flexibility. And
I think that's it.
Bid. Can we look at best value with a proposal?
Yes, correct. We can. And that's the reason why I look at factors that provide the best values for the port. It gives you more flexibility in awarding the contract for what is the best value for the Port Authority. We've done both, and I don't think it makes a difference as far as change orders go.
You could do a change order either way. But with all that, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Okay, item I, too, approve the purchase of insurance from various carriers effective March 1st, 2018 for the Port Authority's primary and excess property and casualty insurance coverage needs in the amount reflected in that item.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 3, authorize funding of $1,750,000 for the Port Authority's self-insurance loss fund account for the insurance fiscal year 2018-19 and authorizes third-party claims administrator to pay claims from such account in accordance with the amended insurance program and indemnification policy dated February 2015.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under general, item 4, we have recommended, Commissioner Fitzgerald recommended that we approve the audited financial statements for the Port of Houston Authority Restated Retirement Plan for the fiscal year ended July 31st. He has moved it. Commissioner Mee seconded it. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. No items under health, safety, security, and emergency management. Very good, yeah. Captain Woodruff.
You get administrator of the day.
All right, under infrastructure, item 1, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a construction contract in an amount not to exceed $594,990 for the annual fender system maintenance at Barbers Cut and Bayport Container Terminals for 2018 to the top-ranked proposer in order of ranking, first, Bryant Industrial Services, LLC, and second, Alpha Mar Group.
Motion.
Second.
Motion from Commissioner Branch for the top-ranked proposer, Bryant Industrial, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 2, award a construction contract to MB Western Industrial Contracting Company for Wharf 27 in the amount reflected in that item.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
I have a quick question.
Yes, sir.
We getting reimbursed, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Or are they going to just pay for it directly?
There is a claim that I think has not been settled
correct.
Yet.
That's correct.
But we believe we have to move forward with the repair of this dock.
So they're going to,
we will see reimbursement.
Claim should pretty clearly be $603,464.
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know. You can shed more light on it, but I know we have
Yeah, we're still working the claim.
Whatever the cost was, yeah.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 3, award a construction contract to RB Hash and Associates for the rehabilitation and repair of Wharf 1 at Turning Basin Terminal in an amount not to exceed $443,315.
So moved.
Moved by Commissioner Don Carlos, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 4, award a construction contract to Wadecon LLC for the repair of stormwater drains at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $342,000.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 5, amend the professional services contract with Lockwood, Andrews, and Newnham to design the rail spur at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $72,222.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item 6, Commissioner Meese. Approve a change order to McCarthy Building Companies to perform additional work associated with construction of the East End and Container Yard 1 at Barber's Cut Terminal in an amount not to exceed $67,474.
So moved.
Motion.
By Commissioner Don Carlos, seconded by Commissioner Branch. Are there any questions?
Been doing no good.
We beat him down.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under General, Item 7, enter into a memorandum of agreement with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers for placement of dredge material by a non-federal interest into a federal dredge material placement area pursuant to Section 217B of the Water Resources Development Act of 1996.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under permits, licenses, and pipeline easements, I will take items 8 through 16.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Brandt, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
I have a real quick question on item 14.
Yes, sir.
Do we have any idea on how many barges are going to be put next to this residential area? It's not a great residential area, but it's a residential area.
Right. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom or someone, but you know we're permitting this. I think it would be in accordance with whatever our barge fleeting policy that we established is from the standpoint of security. They own this property though, and we don't.
Yeah.
So we're just granting the permit.
I know.
So does anybody have an answer to
answer your question? I don't know how many barges are going to be.
Yeah, we don't have a lease yet, so I think that remains to be negotiated.
When we enter into the lease negotiation, I'd be interested to know how many barges.
Can you do me a favor? Would you just keep
get the answer for you and get back to you?
Please keep Commissioner Don Carlos in the loop.
You bet.
Thank you very much. Okay. Under operations, L1, award a 3-year contract to Bubenzer Brinson America LLC, doing business as Prishard, I can't pronounce it, sole source provider for purchase of spare and replacement parts for wharf and RTG cranes at Barber's Cut Terminal and Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $1,200,000.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Actually, we just wanted to hear you read that again.
That's right.
Item 2, award a 2-year contract to Yard Mule Specialists, Inc., the sole source provider for purchase of spare replacement capacity brand parts to yard tractors at Barber's Cut Terminal and Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $250,000.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, amend the professional services agreement with APTIM Port Services LLC to perform additional inspection services for construction of three dockside electric container cranes for Wharf 2 at Bayport Container Terminal in an amount not to exceed $232,000.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch. Seconded by Commissioner Corrigan.
I have a real quick question on that one.
Yes, sir.
So are we getting credit from Shanghai for $232,000?
We
since
have,
their delays causing us this money?
Yeah, the cranes are late. We have liquidated damages in that contract. I don't know what the rate of that is, but it is to take care of situations like this. So, yeah, we're
comfortable it'll cover this.
I don't know the number specifically
yes.
on that one.
Yes. It's going to cover this.
Yeah. It's $2,000 per day per crane.
Okay, that'll get it.
I'm sorry, $4,000 per crane per day of late. So the contract expires August 18th. So from that day forward, you'll be paying that rate for every day that they're going.
So we know that they're delivering 3 months late. So they're going to be commissioned, you know, several months late as well.
All right. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four, enter into a marine terminal services agreement with Hapag Lloyd.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Corrigan, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Yes.
If ever there was a win-win situation, this is it. Really good job.
Good.
I really like this.
Under M for people. Item one, award a contract to Lockton Companies LLC for employee benefits consulting services for an initial period of 3 years, renewable for one successive 2-year period of the option of the Port Authority at a cost of $115,000 per year for the first 3 years and in an amount not to exceed $345,000.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under technology. Award a purchase order to HP Inc. for the replacement of tablet devices used by Barber's Cut Terminal and Bayport Container Terminal Operations using a State of Texas Department of Information Resources Cooperative Purchase Program in an amount not to exceed $250,000.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Don Carlo, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. We're now going to...
Before we move, can I ask a question on M? I was concerned why we went to the fifth highest bidder.
Tom, you want to comment on, is that the...
employee benefits.
Employee benefits.
We had five bids and we took the highest.
The low bidder was the incumbent. We've had some service issues.
But this is our request for proposals.
Yes, right. It's an RFP.
Yeah, it's not a bid.
Right.
Okay.
The second lowest, the staff evaluating believe that the size of their staff and their market presence wasn't large enough for our plan. The third one, third lowest, the group was out of San Antonio and they didn't have the staff that we felt they needed to do this job. And that was part of what the incumbent problem was. The fourth could have done it and it was a very qualified company, but they had a fee in there that was for prescriptions, that they were going to charge us per prescription. And we don't have a clue how many prescriptions we have, so we didn't know what that fee would be. And for $10,000, we weren't willing to take that chance. And Lockton is a national company that does this well. Probably the biggest thing for Lockton for us is that they have taken many companies to self-insurance, and we believe that for the 2019 benefit year, we have the data now that we're going to push to go self-insured for our medical, and they have that experience to help us with that. That was a big piece of this.
Mr. Hyde, the other piece of that is that Lockton Companies LLC has the highest customer satisfaction rating of any company in that space, for what that's worth. All right, so all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item's carried. I know that we do a lot of work in analyzing, you know, the best value to the port when we're looking at these kinds of things. So thank you for putting so much effort into that.
And I'm very encouraged by the self-insurance.
So am I.
That's the direction we need to go in.
Thank you, Jim.
Let's control our own.
Okay. Do we need an executive session today?
Yes.
All right. So we're going to adjourn the meeting and move into executive session. Please.
Okay. Contractors versus Houston Authority Four-Day Construction Company. Proposed agreement for legal service with Almond, Zabatanos, Anatakos, Alavi, and Mensing.
No.
Regarding real estate.
Thank you.
Including deliberation regarding
that was my good meeting.
We shall reconvene public session after the closed meeting.
Okay.
Can I do it again?